Thanks for spending a bit of time, because you must be absolutely rammed busy with getting ready for the tour and rehearsals and things.
Yeah.
So it's much appreciated. So I think the best place to start is at the beginning. How come now felt like the right time to get the boys back together and do Lionheart again?
To be honest, it was the last thing that I'd ever thought would happen. It was no decision of ours. We've always kept in contact, but, you know, with other bands, you know, 15 years with Pre-Mentis, and you lose contact with everyone, but you still sort of see one another every now and again at a festival. But last year, when we were asked to do the Rockingham Festival, they said, do you reckon we could get the band together? And I just thought it was impossible. It was just ridiculous, you know. And I moved up here and onto this farm and live on this farm, thinking I'm going to be semi-retire, you know. after all the years with Pre-Mentis, and I'm doing all these festivals all over Europe with the Iron Maiden convention stuff that I do, and I just thought, oh bloody hell, you know, I'm really busy with so many. I play with three bands and a duo and just ticking over and just enjoying semi-retirement. And the next minute, like, we got together, friends of mine in Saffron Walden and have a studio, and Rocky and Clive came down and said, we found this singer, Lee Small. And I said, yeah. And they went, do you want to try it? And I went, yeah. And Steve was in Germany because he's still producing bands in Germany. He's a great producer. And he was working with Schenker. And so we got together in Saffron Walden. And the funny thing was that we started doing some of the songs that we did in the 80s. And we all looked at one another, like me, Rocky and Clive. Because Lee sort of just looked at us and thought, this is mad, you know. everything seemed to fall back in place. Something in the back of your brain just went, I know these words, I know, and all the harmonies come out, and it was just great. And basically, cut a long story short, we said to Steve, we've got to do this festival, and he flew over. We had, I'm not lying, we done a lot of rehearsing at home. We worked on a set of songs that were basically put together from the old stuff, from the first album, and also stuff that we used to do live that wasn't on the album. And Steve flew over, and I think we had two rehearsals, and then went straight to Nottingham. we didn't know what to expect. And the funny thing was, we went out there, and we just enjoyed it so much. And we sat in the dressing room looking at one another and went, that was a bit special, that. And everyone after that at Rockingham said, you've got to do another album, you know. You can't let it go just like with one album. And we were, to be honest, mate, we were badly treated in the 80s, and we were sort of like left out to dry when we come back from America, the third album. We were let down so badly, and I think it knocked quite a lot of the wind out of our sails to sort of like keep going, you know. And I think that's the reason why the band sort of just drifted apart, because we thought maybe it just wasn't to be. But with Steve Mann's drive and his enthusiasm, I've never known anyone in my life to go, listen, I can produce this album, we just need a bunch of songs. And we worked for 6 months to put them songs together, and we did the album in about 7 months, and it was unbelievable. I love the album. I love the excitement, Lee's voice, the freshness of the old songs being redone. You know, it's just unbelievable. And some of the new stuff, you know, like We're 30 Years and Angels, and some of the new stuff that's on there, it's just so different from what we've done before, and I love it. But yeah, it's exciting.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest. I've had the album on non-stop today. And it's one of those, I keep coming back to it and going and finding new things, because I think the word you used before was fresh. It doesn't sound like to put it gently, or not as gently as a blunt northerner would, it doesn't sound like a bunch of old men trying to recreate something that's 35 years gone. It sounds like people doing the right thing for the right reasons. Now, the production sound is very current without sounding like people trying too hard to be the next big thing, you know? It's the right mix of sort of the classic side of things, but without...
It's strange listening to you say that, because we don't go out purposely to sound like 1984.
No.
It's just something that's... When, you know, with Prayer Mantis for 15 years, no matter what I wrote or contributed towards the songs with Prayer Mantis, it still sounded like Prayer Mantis.
Mm.
It was still that twin harmony guitar, harmony vocals, lead vocals up front. It was still that melodic rock, heavy rock, melodic rock, whatever.
Mm.
But it is strange because, as Steve Mann said, he said, I've never heard a sort of gel with the vocals. And the funny thing was, when we did that album, Steve was doing most of the backing track down in Germany,
mm.
and we all did it separately at home. Like, I don't have the internet at the farm. I don't even have a phone line up here. that's what is no signal to someone at home. But there's a studio in Saffron Walden, which I go to, that is owned by friends of mine that have all the digital, the Logic, Pro Tools, everything.
Mm.
And it was just sitting in the studio with Steve would send the song, a track over, and say, you know, put your stuff down on this, let me have it back, send it back. And we basically done that album on WhatsApp. we'd send one another text messages, and then he would sort of film himself on WhatsApp going, this is me, I'm doing this part. Then I would sit and watch the video, then I'd sit at home, and I would work the harmony or the whatever it was out, and then we would swap solos, and then sooner or later, the song was finished.
Mm.
And the only hard work we did, basically, apart from putting our spare time into it, or all our time into it, I said to Rocky, look, Steve wants the three of us to do the backing vocals together. So me and Rocky jumped in Rocky's car, and we got into Germany on a Tuesday morning, and within 3 days, we'd done 12 songs, all the backing vocals that we needed to do in 3 days.
Mm.
And we jumped back in the car and drove home. And Steve just mixed all the vocals when we'd gone, because we were only there for 3 days. It was just so exciting. And as you say, I put the album on. Every time I put the album on, I hear something different. I hear something that I didn't hear the first time. And it is amazing, because don't forget, when you do an album, as you know, you get fed up listening to the same song over and over.
Yeah.
You've been sitting there learning it, sitting there writing a solo, working out the backing vocals. In the end, you're sick of the bleeding sound of the song. But when I listen to it back produced, and there's been many an evening I've sat here with a glass of red wine, and I've phoned Steve or I've texted Steve at 11 o'clock at night and gone, I've just listened to Every Boy in Town. I said, I've got tears in my eyes. It's one of them things that is just for us, so close, so personal, you know.
Mm. And the lovely thing, hearing you say that, is exactly that bit where you say, you know, I speak to bands and people who've got records out, and you go, yeah, how often do you listen to your own stuff? And the number of people that say, I don't. You know, I've done it, it's done, it's out, we'll do the shows and whatever. But other than that, I kind of don't bother. And and part of me goes, how could you be fed up of that? How could you? And that's me as a music fan since I was sort of 3 years old watching The Suite. You know, it's kind of that still hits me. And go, really? But to hear you saying that, and it's kind of that, I like that. that kind of goes, oh yeah, that makes sense. That's really good. The one thing that got me straight away was the cover on there. The Don't Pay the Ferryman.
Yeah.
Because I think, like a lot of people, I'd forgotten that Christa Berg actually did things other than Lady in Red, and did some really good stuff prior to that, and became the sort of chicken in the basket, multi-million, very successful selling artist. But the early stuff was really good, and I thought, oh, what a good song. And I listened to your version of it and thought, to me, it's better than the original because there's more guitars on it, there's more harmonies, there's more of the things that make me love rock, the rock music that I like. You know, that I think I've always been a closet pop fan.
Funny thing is about that is that we tried. I mean, Steve contacted Christa Berg's management and just wanted feedback. You know, after we got permission to use the track. First of all, we weren't going to do that. We were all debating. We wanted to put a cover on the album, and as we were thinking about this, it was David Bowie's passing, and we were you know, chucking songs around, and we were going for a few Bowie songs, and some rocky ones, and some other suggestions come up, and Steve said, I've always wanted to do Ferryman. And basically, we decided on, I can't remember what the song was, but, and then Steve said, look, I'm just going to put this track down just as a bit of a demo. I want you to hear it. And when he put it down with a drum machine, we all went, yeah, fantastic. Now, the funny thing is that there was another reason why we wanted to put a cover on it, a classic cover. Steve contacted Christa Berg's management. We didn't get a lot of feedback from them, but the strange thing was that the keyboard player with Christa Berg is a big fan of us from our other bands that we've worked, and he contacted Steve through, I think, Facebook, and said, I've heard you're going to cover this song. And when the album came out, he actually played it to Christa Berg in Canada while they were on tour, and he put a message back on Facebook to Steve saying he loves it. And the other reason why we did that was because it's so hard now with all these young bands coming out, and you've got to say, you just hit the nail on the head with these old guys coming with a new excitement album. And it was only a couple of years ago that I listened to a lot of radio, like Planet Rock. And I also listened to a bit of radio too, during the day when it's quiet.
Yep.
And Ken Bruce, on his Radio 2 show in the morning, he put Disturbed on, The Sound of Silence.
Yep.
And when I heard that track, the first thing I wanted to do was listen to an album by Disturbed. Now, I've never heard of them at all. And then all of a sudden, I got the album on Spotify. I listened to it. But not only did they do Sound of Silence, they did about 8 songs of covers. They did Genesis, they did so many covers, and the covers were brilliant. And basically, I said to Steve, well, if we're going to do this cover, you know, who's to say we might not get a breakthrough to sort of like Radio 2 or 6 Radio, just because it's a cover that people get to know we're back on the map. Well, it's just a coincidence that I'm talking about 3 days ago, a friend of mine that works in London who knows Mark Radcliffe quite well, gave him the album. And I've got a text message on my phone on Monday, and it said, Mark Radcliffe loves the album, he loves the cover, and he also loves the production. And he's going to pass it on to 6 Radio.
How fabulous.
BBC Radio. So that's one of the things that you think, please God, someone will listen to it, you know?
I think even as a sort of very keen fan and of music and rock and everything for years and years and years, even an outsider, you can go, and I still go out and buy physical stuff because that's what you do, you know? You listen to everything rather than oh, I like that song and that song. But the industry's clearly not the beast it was back in the 80s and 70s. Given your experience then, do you think now was probably better than it was or worse?
Well, that is a big question. I'll tell you why. I noticed it, the way that the world financial situation, I don't do politics, but I'm looking at 15 years over in Japan with Prayer Mantis, and we stayed in all the top hotels. We were treated like royalty, and we used to pack out, you know, the Sunset, you know, the Sun Plaza. We'd pack out different venues, and now they've got no money. So you go over there, you're playing to less people. You're playing smaller venues because the whole music climate around the world, it's just slowly changing and got so hard. It's got worse. And now in this country, you know, you know how hard it is with record companies. And, you know, years ago, okay, the record company was the bank. You go tap in hand and you say, we want to record an album. Nowadays, you know, with the equipment that we've got, the recording facilities that we've got, you give the record company the album on a plate. They don't have to spend any money of studio time, but they don't have to pay any wages. You're asking them to take the album, give it to them on a silver plate, and it's still hard work.
Yeah.
You know, so, I don't know, basically, so out of touch now with record companies and promoters, and also, you know, trying to sell tickets to venues and things like that. It's hard work. And we looked at ourselves and we went, look, you know, that album we did is great. We want to do another album. And funny thing was, going back to Mark Radcliffe, when I forwarded the text message to the band, when Mark Radcliffe said, I love the production, Steve Mann came back on the text message and said, if he likes the production on that, wait till the second album, because it's going to make the first album sound like a bunch of demos. So the excitement and the enthusiasm is still there, even how much older we're getting. But all I can say to you, hand on heart, is that it is so bloody hard. Unless you're a maiden, unless you're established and you can roll along like a steamroller, you know, selling out arenas, halfway up the ladder, it's got even harder. And I don't blame anyone, because there's, you know, with the employment and people not earning any money, so many people unemployed, and also with the migration situation, all our countries are taking in millions of migrants, then, you know, how hard can it get? So when you travel to Japan now, you don't stay in the Hilton or the Tokyo Hyatt. You stay in a smaller hotel, and you play to between 500 and 1,000 people rather than 5,000. So it's just hard work.
Yeah.
And I'm finding it in this country as well. You know, so many bands trying. I think it's a lot harder now to get through, because the bands that are already established don't have to worry. So
no,
it's only the people that are still trying to climb up that ladder. You know,
but the Clooney's, what, it's a fantastic wee place, and the fans that are there are going to absolutely adore it. They're going to have such a great time with both of the bands and what you're playing.
Well, we're looking forward to it, because, you know, back in the 80s when we were thriving, before we did the album, or we did the third or the after, but, you know, with Def Leppard and more, with Laurie, you know, we were all out on the road together, and I've got loads of photos that I'm taking on the tour with me, because probably Laurie and his boys ain't seen all these photos that I've got, so it's quite funny. So it is quite a friendly sort of atmosphere with the two bands. It's quite nice.
Yeah, and I think that clearly will come across on stage as well, because, you know, I spoke to Laurie last night, and he's buzzing about what they're doing, and you're clearly overjoyed with what Lionheart are doing. And that's got to come across. And with two bands doing that and sharing a bass player.
Yeah. Well, I went down with Steve Harris when British Lions done a couple of months ago.
Yeah.
Down and talking and stuff. And I always, when Steve's over here in this country, I always meet up with him because he's still, at the moment, still got Shearing Hall up the road from where I live.
Mm.
We always meet up and have a pint and I'll go down and see him. And that first night, Air Race was supporting them. So Laurie was there as well. So it was nice just all get together and have a chat, you know. And Steve's still the serious commander general, you know. You know, that's how he is, you know.
Well, I suppose, you know, I think every organisation needs one.
Oh, yeah, apart from when West Ham lose, because then I have to have all the text messages from wherever he is, in the Bahamas or in Portugal, just going absolutely poppy about West Ham. So, well, I let my anger off to him, and he does the same to me, so we're both West Ham fans. We sort of comfort one another.
Well, that's been brilliant speaking to you, Dennis. I'll let you get back to your enjoying your evening and having a rest.
I woke up now. I'm all right.
Oh, sorry.
But, fantastic.
But it's been an absolute pleasure. Can't wait to see the show. And I know that anybody that can get off their backsides and get out to live music are going to have a great night. The two bands are just superb.
As I say, it's people like you that help us out all the time and try and get the word about and push it. So it's all help for us, which is great.
well, you see, it's all selfish for me. As if I feel if I don't try, then people stop coming. And if people stop coming, what am I going to do? I'm going to have to sit and watch X Factor. Oh, God help me.
No, that's it.
But you know, it's just no. I've got to keep doing it. Keep doing it.
Yeah. So I'll see you in Newcastle.
You shall.
We'll have a pint
then. All right, buddy. Take care.
That'll be great. Thanks
very much. Cheers now. Bye bye.